How was your week? What were the news stories and the conversations? Acumen Media breaks it down for us.
My name is Tanya Curry, and this is this week's Acumen Media Report. It's entitled, Lockdown Too Long, We Wait. It's September, the last quarter of 2021 and the beginning of spring. It feels like it's been 16 years since we rang the New Year's bell on a humdinger of a year that most of us want to forget. You know, we say things like, this year has flown. We don't use that anymore because it hasn't. Lockdown, too long. Allow me to take you through the week in media numbers. Digital vibes. The SIU finally delivered their report to President Ramaphosa on the digital vibe scandal and its damning. It recommends prosecution of Zwelile Mkhize and others. We didn't expect anything less, but we're quite surprised at the strong recommendation. The president has not released the report to the public, but the ruling party has more leaks than Dear Liza's bucket. Some of you are far too young to remember this reference, but laugh, guys, because I promise you that's funny. Nicholas Crisp was appointed acting health DG, which appears to be a sign of no return for Mkhize. And now we wait. We wait in a lockdown too long. We wait in a snaking queue for everything, including justice. Babita Dekoran. The assassination of Babita Dekoran resulted in several arrests this week, and a bunch of cash was found at one of the suspect's premises. This story is a tragedy. Why are there bodyguards and security in their numbers for the politicians that stole, but nothing for our whistleblowers? Minister Cele, we don't even want to see those who assassinated Dekoran. We want to see those that paid for that assassination. And quickly, please, we wait. The impact of lockdown. 11 million people applied for special grants this week. That's about a fifth of our population, and these are new criteria grants, not the normal SASSA grant where the queues pile up each month. We wait. Government admits the situation is untenable and that unemployment is a path to starvation. And we still wait. Too long. Sisulu says that the safe houses for women involved in GBV are not enough. And then we wait. The Gauteng Rebuilding Fund opened this week and applications poured in as we wait. Zuma. Oh. Every week I vow I'm not going to give the Zoomers any airtime, but here I am again having to write explanations to people who actually believe that Zuma was subject to detention without trial. Are you listening? It's simple, everyone. There was no trial because Zuma refused to attend the courts. And like anyone else, if you don't attend the trial, you will be detained. Should I write it out in capital letters or shall I speak louder? Will that work? The level of downright stupidity and ignorance is exasperating. How is Zuma, by the way? Ah, no one knows. According to the Jay-Z Foundation, his illness has been diagnosed, yet they won't release the details of it as he languishes in hospital. He's still not served a single day of his sentence in jail, so actually, he's not detained without trial at all, is he? He's in a plush room filled with nurses that serve on him, just like he likes it. Remember Kwesi. The doctors refuse to let the state in on the diagnosed condition to evaluate their findings, and now it has had to go to the NPA. So here we wait. Maybe months, maybe even until his so-called prison time is over. Too long. Insurrection instigators and DZ22. Those pesky instigators of the insurrections are still aloof. However, the PTPT evaluator was arrested this week and then released. She was told not to tweet anymore. Do the courts know how Twitter works? I don't think that's going to stick, guys. She can call herself evaluator the PTPT1. And she'll be back to nasties quicker, in fact, much quicker, than you can read your dodgy report on who did what on social media. When will you arrest the Zuma twins? Too long. We showed you, Mr. President, that we will not be played, and our overwhelming physical and social media voice was drowned out by the arrest of keyboard warriors instead of those who orchestrated a war against our country. A coup, a plot to remove you from your seat, and you still make us wait. We lose hope that you will listen to what we shout out loud. And as if to add salt to a wound that needs surgery, DZ22 started trending. Yep. The real instigator is running for president, everyone. There's no mention of which party Dudazani will be running with, though. We'll just wait. The ANC and crowdfunding. Supra Mahamaphelo, his disciplinary, has to start afresh. You remember him. He's the guy that made Mahikeng burn in 2018. That's 3 years ago, and we're still waiting. Too long. The government can't even pay their own salaries as the ANC resorts to crowdfunding to pay its staff. Maybe they got that idea from Zuma with his Capitec account. By the way, has SARS got that Capitec number? Not that I believe a single person donated because, you know, cash crunch. But regardless, there should be scrutiny on this latest fad where people that you stole from are asked now to give the little money left to gluttonous politicians. Tsek. There is some good news. Eskom is recovering as it only declares an 18 billion rand loss. Apparently that's quite good. It's only numbers, guys. Not like it makes an impact on our lives, hey? Lockdown too long. Vote for Nota. I read a fabulous article by Colin Thacker, professor at UKZN. He said, when in doubt, vote for Nota. He went on to explain that if you're unhappy with the EFF, DA or ANC, then vote Nota. None of the above. He makes an excellent point. Dilute the powers of those that have failed us. And the thought wasn't even out of my head when Godzilla entered the room. Remember her? She's the one who resigned from the DA often, but never left. Remember? Well, she's back. She's electioneering and climbing onto every story that blames Zuma or a member of the ANC. This week, she was quoted often in her opinion of the SIU report and the IEC election readiness assessment. Many will know that I'm less than a fan of Helen Zille, and after this week, nothing has changed. She evades the questions on why Nelson Mandela Mayor had a car crash after curfew and doesn't mention that small thing called Khayelitsha. She doesn't mention how Cape Town are so out of touch with South Africa that they want to break away from the rest of SA, and she also doesn't mention that the Cape Town Stock Exchange has opened because the wealthy are living in their holiday homes since lockdown. There is a word for this now. It's called semigration. I call it gluttony. The disparity of the Western Cape and the self-righteousness of Gogo Zilla are simply nauseating. COVID and the vax. The wasp nest of disinformation and social media rebuttal to the vaccine grows each day. I cannot believe I'm writing this, but an organization called Panda compared the vaccine and the PCR test to rape. This was during Women's Month. Do you think it was a boys' club who had this discussion? Probably, because I'd hate to think a woman would make such disgusting remarks. Hey, Panda, couple of questions. Did you give consent in your last rape? Because with the vaccine, you do have to. Did the last rapist give the woman a choice to say yes or no? The vaccine does. What an insult to women based in a country that is called the rape capital of the world. This time, Panda should be extinct. The Delta variant has created havoc across the world to the extent that some countries are considering a booster shot for the original vaccine. You see, when we read this, we all feel that sinking roller coaster tummy, especially those of us who are vaxxed. We did our bit. Some of us felt quite heavy side effects from that jab. And now you want us to go again? Even I'm going to say no on this one. Well, I thought that, and then I saw the first chink in my plan. Discovery has made vaccination mandatory for employees. This is a natural next step for business and our planet, I suppose. Vaccine passports are a thing, as most of Europe have implemented the no-vax, no-entry law into restaurants, shopping malls, and any other crowded place. Jumping on a plane now requires more than one passport. I don't mind this. I want to feel some level of our old world, where we can do as we like if we choose, and as we choose, within the boundaries of the law. And then I watched the headlines read that a grade 8 pupil was stabbed to death and a 15-year-old was charged with murder. I watched in horror as I learned a 6-year-old was raped in a school toilet, the very place that children should be safe. I learned how nothing has been done about the pit toilets, and what is the holdup? It's too long. Lily's Leaf, a place really dear to my heart, has run out of funding and will be shut down. It was the place I met George Bezos. It was the place where we joined an interfaith prayer while Uncle Kathy was breathing his last. My generational cousin Alan Payton's name is on that wall. This story made me cry, and I can't believe that our history is being cancelled because of the rancid impact of COVID. Outside of the carnage that is the impact of an inactive government, we saw that those that were killed, that killed the frailest of our society in Life Isidimeni, will not be charged criminally. We waited so long and watched in horror as the story unfolded years ago, and then nothing. In other news, Techie Town moves forward with their case to liquidate Steinhoff. There's no arrest there either, are there? Too long. America asked South Africa to take Afghan refugees and we said no. My heart aches for the Afghans, but America and Britain, this is your shout. Don't drag us into your crimes against humanity. Trying to end on a positive, the Paralympics made us proud. Their show of courage and tenacity by those Olympians is a lesson to us all. Rise, regardless of your circumstance. Dedication and talent will take us further than any politics will. We've waited too long, SA. Vote Nota. I'm Tonya Curry, and this is this week's Acumen Media Report.